The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Looney Lewis, and today I do have the honor of introducing a phenomenal guest to the show, Rob Schultz. He is the president of Schultz Wealth Limited and grew up in Taylor, Texas. He has extensive experience and training in helping people achieve financial security. He is a licensed investor advisor and certified financial planner. He has been recognized most recently for his expertise by his peers and publicly as a 2019 five-star wealth manager, as well as a 2019 Investopedia Top 100 Investment Advisors in the country. Wow. Rob, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
I am excited to have you on the show, and congratulations. 2019 was a very good year for you, sir.
It was. We've been having a lot of fun the last few years, kind of doing what I do. I guess it's just a result of doing that, you know, just trying to do what your purpose is and have fun with it and try to make a difference in people's lives.
Yeah, taking the right action, and that really resonates, quite frankly. Now, tell us, the audience, a little bit about your journey so far into to being where you are today.
Sure. It's been a journey for sure. I think I knew what I wanted to do a long time ago, that I wanted to just help people as a financial planner. But initially, I didn't really know how to do that. I started out, I was in the Navy. As a naval officer, and I enjoyed working with my sailors to help them with these things. I have a degree in accounting. So when I got out, I started looking for what I do today. And I started out working for a big company, big financial services company, and discovered pretty quickly that's not what I was looking for. I was looking more to work for the people who I wanted to help instead of working for a large company.
Yeah.
And from that point, it was a long transition or a series of transitions. I think life is always a transition in some ways. And then, you know, just over time, I think that I was able to put together this firm. This is my second firm. I had a firm called First Texas from 2000 to 2014, which was more of a conglomerate. And then in 2014, we started Schultz Wealth, which is totally dedicated just to financial planning and asset management. And it's been a great ride since then. That's when I really feel like I hit my stride, was when we started Schultz Wealth and just really started focusing more and more on just what I thought I was really, really good at and where I thought I could do the most good for other people.
Yeah. So the second time around, you've learned a couple of things along the way. You need to do it better.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. You know, and the hardest thing I think in my career, and I know this maybe is in a lot of different careers, is, you know, you feel like you need to get more specialized and more focused, but it's so scary because, you know, I was just unsure of whether I could make a living with just a small piece, you know, of what I was doing. But it's not true. Every time it seems like I've focused down and gotten more specific in what kind of service I provide, the better my business becomes.
Yeah, is it a mile deep, an inch wide, where you really...
That's right.
Yeah. You truly find your niche, and then it becomes a lot easier to do what you do because you're so focused. And the clarity that comes with it is really, it's like undeniable.
It is. And there's a fear that, you know, you won't have enough people to talk to or to work with, but it's just not true. You know, as long as you're, I think, really trying to focus on things that you know can be of benefit to others, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. And that fear is real. It's real for a lot of people. It's real for a lot of new entrepreneurs. And you yourself, you know, this is your second time around and you've kind of mastered it and honed in on that. What are some tips to actually find that niche and believing that, you know, the right people, it will resonate with the right people and you will be fulfilled?
Well, I don't know. You know, as far as for me, at least, what happened was, is I, you know, keep your head up and your eyes open. That's certainly something that I think is important, is to always try to be aware of what's happening in your industry. For me, the big thing that was happening in my industry was that registered investment advisors, which is what I am now, were starting to kind of become a bigger and bigger thing, meaning, you know, fee only, where you're just working for the client and the client pays you instead of working off commission and things like that. And I just kept my eyes open and started to try to learn more about that because it was intriguing to me and I liked how it resonated. It just felt like it was what I'd been looking for a long time. And then again, the fear, right? I mean, I think a lot of people don't make transitions because they're afraid because, you know, how am I going to feed my family and be able to make a living if I jump off this cliff into another direction?
Yeah.
So trying to squash the fear, right? Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, trying to just find what that is and yeah, keeping your head up and your eyes open. I think that's one of the most important things.
That's good advice. And actually not to be the fear of the unknown to not take over. And to know that, just that faith, right? There's that need for faith and hope, knowing that what you're doing is going to come to fruition.
Yeah, faith, hope, confidence, and excitement. I feel really blessed that I've been able to find something that I do that gets me up in the morning and that I'm excited about. And I think if I'd stayed with that financial services firm from many, many years ago, I mean, I would have made a great living. There's no question.
Yeah.
But I think it would have been harder and harder to get up in the morning because it just didn't feel like it didn't have the purpose that I was really looking for.
Yeah. And a lot of us people struggle with getting up in the morning, you know, the Monday syndrome. You know, I hate Mondays because they're not happy. They're not fulfilled. Yeah. They're not doing what they love. And it's crucial because the way you're going to get confidence and get that, increase that faith muscle, that hope is by taking action. It's taking the leap.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I completely agree. You know, go and do stuff, live life and try to make a difference and be excited about the things that you're able to achieve. And sometimes it takes a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, I've transitioned a multitude of times in my career. I don't think that's uncommon.
Nope.
You know, the world changes, our industries change, we change to become kind of, you know, who it is that we were intended to be.
Right. And a lot of it is, as I'm listening to you talk, yes, there's the skill sets that's required and you're going to fail, you're going to learn along the way. But also a big part that I'm gathering from you, Rob, is the thought process that has to be in place for success to be yours. And that's a segue to your book, you know, the thoughts on things financial. So I want to hear, tell us about your book and how the mind, the beliefs play a role in the financial realm.
Oh, sure. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm not a financial planner. I'm a financial therapist because, you know, so much of it is behavioral. Mm-hmm. More of it's behavioral than it is really anything else. And, you know, that's what I do all day, every day is I sit down and I meet generally with couples about financial planning, about what it is that they want to accomplish from a financial standpoint in their lives. And they come to me from all different walks of life and stages and et cetera and so forth. So my book is basically a broad conglomeration of a lot of those conversations, of the questions that I've received, of what I've seen that works. And I tried to put it in a fairly concise book with a lot of stories, you know, to make it interesting without all the all the mumbo jumbo and the complicated stuff. You know, just try to make it where it just makes sense and gives you a solid base understanding on a broad number of financial topics.
Yeah. Can you give us one or two point takeaways?
Yeah, sure. You know, I was thinking when I was coming on to this show about morning routine and habits. And I know that that's a lot what you talk about, which I love. You know, habits are so important to ingrain them. One thing that I think is really important, not only just having good habits, but automation mm-hmm. is something that I talk about a lot in the book. Is just trying to get some things on automatic. You know, the reason why 401k plans work so well for people is because they don't think about it. They sign up for it and then it just happens.
Forget it.
And the more things we can do like that from a financial standpoint where we're not thinking about it every single time we want to make a decision, you know, that's how we get past some of those behavioral biases that trip us up, you know, because, you know, you need to save, but at the same time, there's needs and wants that are right there in front of you. And it's hard. It's really, really hard for people to plan for things that are so far out, you know, when there's so many things much closer. We call that short-term bias. Mm-hmm. And that's the way that you do it is through automating. And then every once in a while, sitting down and doing some planning and trying to assess, you know, where you are and what you need to be doing, make the decisions once, and then move on and live your life. That's one of the biggest things that I think a lot of my clients do that are successful. They're able to do that very well.
That is huge. And it's in alignment with us as human beings, the creature that we are. We're habitual.
Oh, yeah.
We need to automate things. We need to do it and not think about it. And the same thing with habits. You know, at first we create our habits by being cognizant and doing it over and over again until it becomes automatic. In our minds and in our brain, and then our habit starts to work for us. You know, you don't think about the savings anymore because you've automated that. You don't even see it coming out of your paycheck. It's automatic. It, like, you don't have to go manually do it. And then you watch that after a year or 2 years, it starts working for you.
That's right.
You start having funds and rainy day funds that you didn't even think about for the last 2 years. So it's really important. And I love that correlation you made with automation in our habit system, because they do work for us in the long term. It's like the short-term bias. It's the long-term benefits of having habits. That's what makes them so impactful.
Yeah. No, and I love what you said about the feedback loop, you know, where you start doing it for a while and you start seeing the fruits of your labor, because it's so true. I mean, that's what starts to happen. And then the other crazy thing that happens that I see all the time is that somebody who has those good financial habits and kind of sets everything on automatic and just kind of lives that way, you know what? Their life is just better, you know, because when they need tires for their car or when some emergency comes up, you know, sure, it's an issue, but they have the means to deal with these things. Whereas the folks that don't do that and aren't able to get into those good financial habits, they get tripped up all the time when things come out of left field at them. And a lot of times they don't understand what's really happening. They're just thinking that this is just bad luck. Mm-hmm. But what's really happening is just normal life. And normal life will trip you up if you don't have good financial habits and you're not saving and investing.
You're reacting instead of being proactive.
Absolutely.
That's what kicks in. You're always reacting to a situation. You're always reacting to things going wrong and happening versus planning for them. Denzel Washington says, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the funny thing is, or it's not funny, it's sad. A lot of times they just never understand what's really happening there. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the hard part.
And that's where you come in and your whole team comes in.
Absolutely. You know, and we have so much fun when we're able to come in into a family's life and, you know, just kind of build some process that wasn't there. And in most cases, it's not. You know, it's just we're so busy. You know, we have jobs, we have kids and all kinds of stuff going on. It's really, really hard to build good financial processes. And the way we do that is we just try to meet with our clients every 6 months. And we just look at everything, make some decisions, move on. And next 6 months, we assess again and see what's going on. And then we have a lot of tools, of course, that we use to try to keep everybody on track.
You can change the whole family's life. And do you find that you're teaching a lot of the basics, money management basics?
I am at times. Yeah, that's why I wrote the book, is because I'd have people coming in and they would, you know, they'd want to talk about all these technical things like, you know, well, should I do a 529 plan or an UTMA account, or should I do a Roth or a regular IRA and all this? And so those are all fine-tuned situations. Okay, so we're talking at this level. It's like, wait. We got to back up here, because we actually have to figure out how to save the money before before we decide what kind of account it's going to be in. So the book is about that kind of that base level of knowledge and understanding. And then from there, I mean, you can Google what a 529 account is, right? But nobody ever really learns that base level of knowledge in school or anywhere like that. A lot of us just kind of learn it from life. In any way that we can accelerate that, you know, the book that I've written or working with a financial planner, well, we certainly want to do that.
Yeah, no, that's phenomenal work. And your book is going to be in the notes below so audience can grab a copy. So tell me about your morning routine, Rob. How do you get up, dress up, and show up?
Sure. You know, mine changes over time. So, you know, it used to be I was really go and would get up super early and really try to do a lot of tasks before I hit the office, you know, like try to get my email read and things like that. And then, you know, hit the office running. But what I've found here recently is at an older age, so I'm in my 50s now. And, you know, the real contributions that I try to make to my business and to my clients and, you know, to the people who I work with is more creativity than it is just work. So I've worked hard to try to create a morning routine that just allows me to be more creative. So I try to get up, you know, early, and then I immediately start to just write. That's what I do every morning, is I try to write something. Maybe it'll be part of my book or part of my new book that I'm working on or part of a project that I have going for training business owners on transition, or I might just write an essay for fun, or I might just write some notes from a diary for myself, or I might write up something about a client that we have that that I need to discuss with my associate Austin, you know, when I get into the office. That's the way I think is when I write. It helps me formulate and organize my thoughts. So that's what I do first thing when I get up in the morning, is I actually open up my laptop and I just start writing. That's weird, isn't it?
No, it's the perfect time, because the subconscious mind is so alert and ready to go and give you answers, give you the creativity juices you're flowing. Because when you first wake up in the morning, and I know Oprah Winfrey does that, Warren Buffett, they take advantage of that time frame early in the morning when the rest of the world is still sleeping, and the subconscious mind is receptive and is flowing. And so that's why your best ideas and your best thoughts come from. It's really phenomenal.
Yeah, I guess so. And it's just, writing takes a lot of mental effort, I think. More so than it really does. And so if I wait and I put it off, that's one of those things that doesn't happen. I usually work out in the afternoon, so I don't really exercise in the morning anymore. I used to run triathlons and stuff. And I do a lot of exercising in the morning. But what I found recently is that makes me like really, really tired when I do it in the morning, whether it almost feels like more rejuvenating for my body when I do it in the afternoon. So I write in the morning. And sometimes I'll write for a couple hours. Sometimes I'll write for 15 minutes. It just kind of depends on whether the flow is there or not. And that's something I never know until I'm actually in the moment. And then normally from there, I'll start really starting to plan. I try to stay in that creative mode as long as I can. Whereas I used to go straight into my email, and that would just crash all of my creativity. I mean, it would just, now I'm in it. You know, the day has started when I open my email. I try to avoid my email until the much latter stages of the morning. And I don't know if that resonates with you at all, but it's email is just continually becoming more and more of a problem with regard to staying organized and focused and on track, don't you think?
I agree, because when you open up the email inbox in the morning, you're giving away your agenda to other people.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
It becomes about solving problems for other people, finding out what they want from you, and then once you start, you'll start responding, and therefore your agenda is no longer yours.
Yes.
Now it's about their agenda, what they need. And that's why it's crucial to stay away from that. And even worse, social media. I tell my young entrepreneurs, like, no social media before you've all taken care of yourself and done what makes you, that puts you in your genius zone. And for you, it's writing, right? And so I do not open emails and social media, because you're giving away your power. You're giving away your agenda. You're dealing with somebody else's agenda, not your own, so early on.
Yeah, that's it. You know, I think I've learned that. So I really try to avoid it. Eventually, I do have to open it.
Yeah.
Because that's just the world that we live in. But I'll try to put it off. And then the other thing I try to do in the morning is I have a sheet that I use that helps me just kind of stay focused on, you know, what my short term and my long term goals are. And I write that up the night before. And then, you know, it's just a simple form. And then it'll have time blocks. So I will have already worked on what my time block is for the day, but then I'll probably make some adjustments to it in the morning before I go into the office and just kind of fine tune it a little bit based upon what my thoughts are and how my flow feels for that day. So that's another thing that I'll do, you know, before anybody wakes up and before anything really starts getting going.
Yeah, that's good. That's great. You really have mastered how to stay sharp and stay creative. And you tailor it to what works for you, because you were telling me earlier, it's changed over the years. When you were a triathlete, it was very different because you weren't writing a book. You know, you were trying to ride 50 miles before it's 8 a.m. Because I did triathlon as well, and I know.
Yeah,
I did a half Ironman, and I know the intense training that it takes. So exercise was naturally part of your daily ritual. But I love that it has evolved as you evolve as a human being.
Yeah, it has. And the other thing that's evolved is, you know, so I'm kind of past the part of my career where I just work. So some of the morning, I even sometimes will attribute to, you know, some of my hobbies and just kind of as a relaxation and to continue that creative juices. Mm-hmm. Like this morning, I got up like really early. I wrote for an hour and then I worked in my workshop because I have a project in there, and I feel so blessed that I, you know, I don't have to be in the office by a certain time. I was here by 8, but I could spend a little bit of time. You know, I painted some cabinets and then looked at some duck decoys that I'm carving and kind of planned out some of that kind of stuff. And for me, that's becoming more and more important, is that as I find, you know, other things that I enjoy that are outside of work, and really try to put, you know, some creative effort into those things as well. You know, it's been very pleasant for me to be able to do that.
Yeah. I'm happy to hear that. How can we connect with you?
Oh, you can connect with me a couple of ways. I'm really very accessible through our website, which is schultzwealth.com, which is spelled weird. It's S-C-H-U-L-Z wealth.com. And then I also have a Facebook group that we talk in. If you look it up, it's the same as the title of the book. It's Thoughts on Things Financial. And it's a closed group, so you have to ask for permission to come in. I'll give you permission. And then within there, we kind of talk about financial stuff. And it's kind of a safe place to be able to talk and visit about different things that maybe I can help people with. So we have a whole group there where we just try to support each other.
That's fantastic. Yeah, all that will be on the show note for my listeners to connect with you. I really enjoyed our conversation this morning.
I did too. It was really fun.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
All right, morning enthusiasts. That's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.